الإسلام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير. صدق الله العظيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا سيدي يا حبيب الله. Respected علماء الكرام, elders, بزرگ, brothers and sisters in Islam, Alhamdulillah, it is the grace, it is the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to on such a beautiful and heartwarming and important night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided us all to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show our thanks, to show our happiness and joy on what is for our Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam the most important and most miraculous night of his entire life. It was a most joyous night. So in that basis, if it is important, if it is a time of happiness for our Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam, then automatically, as his ummatis, as his ghulams and servants, it is a time for happiness for you and I. By nature, if you love someone, then you love it when they have an occasion of happiness, joy and elation. We do that all the time. If someone has a birthday, a wedding, they pass their exams, it's not your birthday, it's not your exam, but you share their happiness. So in exactly the same way, it is natural that we share this occasion, we show happiness and elation on the night of Isra wal Mi'raj, a truly miraculous and beautiful night. And certainly a night which reminds us of the high and elated status given to our messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some prophets and messengers became the Kaleemullah, some became the Khaleelullah, none reached the Sidratul Muntaha. Dawood and Suleiman were given miracles. Saleh and Ibrahim were given miracles, but none were given miracles like the night of Isra wal Mi'raj. In this there is absolutely no doubt whatsoever. So briefly, what I would like to do in this short time, with the permission of Hazrat Allama Sahib, is to give you a very brief indication of what happened on this night. What our Aqeedah is in relation to the exact moments and exact details of it. And perhaps most importantly, the lessons to be learned from this beautiful episode from the life of our messenger alayhi salatu wa salam. Look, whenever you see an event, whenever you see an occasion in the seerah of our Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam, as the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we do two things. Number one, we use that event, we use that part in the Prophet's life to remind ourselves of how close, how special, and how unique our Master and Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam really is. Because every single aspect of the seerah, it reminds us of how great he is. It is a reflection of Maqam-e Mustafa. So whenever you read the seerah, that's the first thing you should. You should ask, what does this mean for our Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam? What do we learn about the status and Maqam of our messenger, peace be upon him? Whether it is the Minar, whether it is Badr, whether it is the Mi'raj, whichever event we take from our Prophet's life, learn it and understand it so we can reflect and understand the status of our Prophet. Number two, ta'aleem. There is no aspect of our Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam's life except there is an education and inspiration for you as well. Something which you can take away practically yourself. Even in the Mi'raj, there is important practical lesson of how you and I can be better ummatis of Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salam. So inshallah ta'ala, at the end, we will conclude with some points about what we can learn about this beautiful night. In short, what is this night about? Because of the hard efforts and endeavors of our Buzuk and our ulama-i kiram, we know this story very well. But as a form of barakah, just very quickly, I'll give you a quick outline of what happened on this night. Our Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam was resting in and around the Kaaba Sharif when Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam appeared at night. And in his hand, he had a basin, a gold basin, in which there was freezing cold Zamzam water. Our Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam, he had what you can call a surgical procedure, a spiritual procedure, gentlemen, by which his chest, it was split open, what we call the Shakti Sadr. And the blessed heart of our messenger alayhi salam was turned out, was taken out and placed into the basin of Zamzam water. We call it Shakti Sagar. Why? Because you could say this was a preparation for the journey upwards that our messenger, peace be upon him, was about to conduct in the companionship of Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam. Seemingly, it seems that the heart of our Prophet alayhi salam was taken out and it was cleaned in the Zamzam water. That's what it seems to happen. SubhanAllah, what the Sufiya Ikram say? They say that the Zamzam water did not clean the Prophet's heart. Rather, the Prophet's heart cleaned the Zamzam water. It is very clear. Because there is no substance or there is no element cleaner in the entire universe from Allah's creation than the blessed heart of our messenger. So it was his heart that was cleaning the Zamzam water. Once he was ready, an animal called a burak was brought in front of our messenger, peace be upon him. This animal transported, at the speed of light, you could say, our messenger and Sayyidina Jibreel from Makkah to Jerusalem. On the way, we understand that it was not a direct journey. It is a journey of about 1,200 kilometers. But we understand from many reports that this journey from Makkah to Jerusalem was not a direct one. En route, our Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam, he was taken to Medina Sharif. He was taken to Baitul Lahm, or Bethlehem, the birthplace of Sayyidina Isa. He was taken to Madian. He was taken to Mount Sinai, the place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. In each and every place, Jibreel instructed our messenger to disembark at these places and to perform two rakats nafal. And then the journey eventually it reached Jerusalem. This, you could say, is the first part of the journey, what we term Isra. Isra in Arabic means to travel at night. So this marks the first stage. There at Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, our messenger, peace be upon him, he entered into this mosque. There, subhanAllah, he saw all of the prophets and messengers. Some were in ruku, he mentioned. Some were in sajda. Some were in qiyam and some were in qu'ud. Eventually, the iqama was recited, and it was time for the Salatul Jama'ah. Everyone knew that our Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam would lead the prayers, but Allahu Akbar, look at his humility, look at his khushu and khudu. He himself never went forward to lead the prayers. It was Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam who took his hand and pushed our messenger, peace be upon him, forward and said, you will lead the prayer. We all know that our Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam is Imamul Anbiya. On this night, amalan, practically, this was shown to everyone by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the salah was complete. And then, after the salah was complete, our messenger, peace be upon him, came out of the mosque. Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam was waiting for him with two vessels or glasses, you could say. In one there was wine and in one there was milk. Jibreel said to our messenger, peace be upon him, Ya Rasulullah, choose one to drink from. Without hesitation, our messenger, peace be upon him, he chose the milk. Sayyidina Jibreel congratulated him and said, اخترت الفطرة. You have chosen nature, you have chosen the correct answer. After that, the upward journey began what we call the Mi'raj. Mi'raj itself comes from the word Araja in Arabic, Uruj. It means going upwards. Our Prophet Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he went to the first, he went to the second, third, to the seventh heaven. There he was allowed to see heaven. At the gate of each of these heavens, he met one of the prophets of Allah or two of them. So for example, at the first heaven, it was Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam who was waiting for our messenger, peace be upon him, who congratulated him, who said salam to him as well. On the second, it was Yahya and Isa. And likewise on the fourth, there were different prophets. There was Sayyidina Idris, Sayyidina Yusuf, Harun, Sayyidina Musa, and then on the seventh heaven was his forefather, Sayyidina Ibrahim. With all of these, a conversation developed. With all of them, the different prophets and messengers, they congratulated our messenger, alayhi salatu wa salam, on his great gift and his great night. Up until now, Sayyidina Jibreel, alayhi salam, had been in the companionship of our prophet. But at this point, beyond the seven heavens and beyond this, was a place called Sidratul Muntaha. The last point, you could say. Sidra in Arabic is the name of a type of dream. Muntaha means akhiri, the last. It was at this point that Jibreel alayhi salam said that Ya Rasulullah, beyond this point, you alone are going to go, I cannot go beyond this point. Although I am made from nur, if I cross this point, I will burn. So beyond that, it was now a personal meeting that our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it was at this place, beyond Sidratul Muntaha, that our Messenger, peace be upon him, told Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was blessed with the greatest ni'mah of Allah. And that is why Surah Najm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ رَأَى مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِ الْكُبْرَى. Certainly our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw the greatest sign of Allah. And the greatest sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is his mission. There at Sidratul Muntaha, many things happened, a conversation between Allah and his Habib alayhi salatu wa salam, salah was made compulsory. The final two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah were revealed to our Messenger. And an ahd, a covenant, or a promise, was given to our Messenger by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what was that? Man qala la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah. That whosoever recites the kalima shri, sincerely from the heart and in the state of iman, and dies in that state, then eventually, even if it means punishment for a small time in the fire of hell, all Muslims will enter into paradise. No person who has read the kalima shri will stay in the fire of Jahannam for eternity. Then the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam, he returned back to Makkah Sharif. When he returned to Makkah Sharif, subhanAllah, all of the climate and circumstances suggested that it had only been seconds since he had gone. Everything was exactly as it was. Some reports say that the ring upon which the Buraq was tied, when he left, that was swinging and swinging side to side. When he returned, it was still swinging. Meaning it seems that the journey happened in seconds. Again, a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which because this is a very brief outline. A very mujmal outline of what happened on the night of Isra wal Mi'raj. No matter what the ulama ikram have written, it is really something, it cannot do justice to this story. In reality, it is a secret between Allah and His Messenger, peace be upon him. We can only guess certainly what can happen. Our aqeedah on this, and this is very important. Because there are, unfortunately, from the Muslims, people who have a different interpretation of what happened on this land. So let me make our aqidah, the aqidah of the Ahl al-Sunnah wal Jama'ah, very clear on this. Whatever I have just described, our aqidah is that our Messenger, alayhi salatu wa salam, performed this journey with body and soul in the state of wakefulness. This is our aqidah, and this is the aqidah of the Salafi Salihin, of most of the companions as well. In this, there is no doubt whatsoever. To the extent that some ulama ikram, including Imam Nawawi, say that whosoever deviates from this opinion, he is a bidat. He does not belong to the Ahl al-Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Some Muslims still, in this day and age, think that everything that I have described was just a dream. That our Messenger physically stayed in Makkah. The Salah in Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa was a dream. The meeting with Adam, Idris, Yahya, and Musa, it was all a dream. The visit to Sidratul Muntaha, he saw it, it happened. But he was at all of the time in Makkah Sharif. Time does not allow me to go into a detailed refutation of why this opinion is wrong. But ask yourself, that if for a moment we assume that all of the journey was a dream, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala classify this as one of his greatest miracles? Because something to do that in a dream, let's face it, is not miraculous. It's not difficult to think about it. And let's face it, even in our own dreams, and we are ordinary people, sometimes we go to far off places. Sometimes we reach Lahore, sometimes we reach Dhaka, sometimes we reach Mumbai. It happens to us all the time. If the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam, for him it was only a dream, why it is considered as an ayah, as a mu'jiza from Allah? It doesn't make sense. If this was a dream, then why did some of the kuffar mock and insult our Messenger the next day? Surely if it was a dream, and our Messenger said, I have this dream, they would say, okay, fine, and move on. Even the kuffar believed that the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam went in the state of wakefulness with body and soul. Those Muslims who think it's a dream, remind them that even Abu Jahl in terms of Aqeedah, I have to say, is better than you. Because he believed that it was in reality. Otherwise, you wouldn't have mocked the Prophet. Please, your Aqeedah is much better than that of Abu Jahl. Please remind yourselves about that. If this was only a dream, why the next day did our Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam give the title of As-Siddiq to Sayyidina Abu Bakr? You know the story of that. That he was out of town, the kuffar came to him and came running frantically. And they said, have you seen what your sahib, what your companion has been saying? He reckoned that last night, in the space of a short period, he traveled physically from Makkah to Jerusalem to the heaven and returned with him. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu simply asked the kuffar, can you verify? He said his exact words. To which the kuffar said, yes. And without hesitation, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, he said, and I believe it automatically. There is no doubt in that whatsoever. So if it was a dream, no one would have ran to Abu Bakr Siddiq. There is no doubt in that whatsoever. To conclude on this part here, look, you just have to understand, is that you only look at the impossibility. You only try to interpret differently. If you think there is a reason, if you think that the reality is not possible, from beginning to end, Allah makes it clear is that I am the one who took my messenger on this journey. And nothing is beyond Allah. If you start questioning the Isra wal Mi'raj, then in reality you are questioning what can Allah do and what he can. This in my eyes is shirk, it is kufr, it is wrong. Don't put limits on what Allah can and can't do. Inna Allaha ala kulli shirk. The Isra wal Mi'raj in terms of its lesson, and what we can derive from it, subhanAllah, it is perfect. It is a beautiful night, and it's a perfect episode of our Prophet's life. Why? Because it helps you to understand your aqidah and your amal. Both things as Muslims is important. In fact, we are Muslims based on these two components of Islam. As a Muslim, there are only two ingredients that we have, either aqidah or amal. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. SubhanAllah, when you look at Isra wal Mi'raj, from beginning to end, it strengthens your aqidah and it strengthens your amal. Aqidah, in terms of aqidah, it puts to bed many of the petty and short-sighted objections that some people put on the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And it makes it very clear, abundantly clear, what our aqidah really is. It cements it, it reinforces it. A simple example, there are some Muslims who try give the impression, not just our prophets, but all prophets and messengers are dead. They are in their great class. They cannot benefit. If you say, Ya Rasulullah, they can't hear you. If you do these kind of things, they can't do anything. They are dead completely. They are nothing whatsoever. The night of Isra wal Mi'raj proves that all prophets and messengers are alive.
SubhanAllah.
It is vindication of the aqidah of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Again, look, our Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam in Masjid al-Aqsa, he led the prayers of all the prophets and messengers. Only the alive read salam. Dead people don't read salam. And I mentioned this, is that when he went to the different heavens, he spoke and conversed with a lot of the prophets and messengers. Dead people don't speak. Only the alive. When he passed by Sayyidina Musa in his grave, our messenger, peace be upon him, said, وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ يُسَلِّي فِي قَبْرِهِ. That I saw Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam performing salah in his grave. So the prophets are alive. This is proven from the story of Isra wal Mi'raj. The other people, some of the same people, they say, زِيَارَتْ كَرْنَا حَرَامِ بِدَتْ شِرْكِ مِزَارُ بِنَا جَائِكَ. They say that in Makkah Sharif, don't go to the birthplace, the Mawlidun Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam in Makkah Sharif. There is nothing there for you. There are massive billboards there with every language, in Arabic, in English, and in Urdu as well. That please don't come in, there is no benefit here. Ali, please ask yourself, if you're telling me that I shouldn't be coming to the Mawlidun Nabi in Makkah Sharif, please answer this question. Why did our Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam go to the birthday of Saint Teresa and perform two rakats. There must be some benefit. Why did our Messenger, peace be upon him, go to Madian, go to Medina Sharif? What this was teaching is that to do suffer with the intention of ziyarah and to perform ibadat there, this is the sunnah of our Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. This is not against the aqidah of the Ahl al-Sunnah wal Jama'ah. قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ. It is our firm belief that our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is nur from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, look at the night of Isra wal Mi'raj. From beginning to end, it proves that our Prophet is nur. The only way he could have traveled that fast if he was nur himself. Even Jibreel, who was made from nur, he expressed his inability to go beyond Sidratul Muntaha, subhanallah, look at the physical makeup of our Prophet. He was able to surpass the human. So again, our Aqidah is proven clearly from the event of Isra wal Mi'raj. We have our Aqidah, we have our Amal. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Even when it comes to Amal, please, the night of Isra wal Mi'raj is worthy of your time, it is worthy of studying it and understanding it. This night should be an inspiration for you and I to be better Muslims and gulam of our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. It is not just Maqam-e Mustafa, we have to translate that into Ta'aleem and Amal as well. What do we learn on this beautiful night? Number one, and perhaps most importantly, no one can understand the night of Isra wal Mi'raj without understanding and appreciating the importance of namaz, the importance of salah. It was on this night that salah was made compulsory. I do not need to mention it, you know very well the story of how it was originally 50 and it was reduced to 5. But our Lord, the most Rahman and Rahim, the most Kareem, he said that although you are only required to perform 5 salahs a day, I will still give you the reward as if you have performed 50. So this night is about salah. The main event of this night was the Salatul Jama'ah in Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. A reminder of how important it is to come to the house of Allah to perform salah. Subhanallah, the Isra itself, where was the starting point and where was the ending point? It was from a masjid to a masjid. Is that not telling you something? Is that not a reminder to you and I of how important, pivotal and primary the masjid really is? It was on this night that our Messenger, peace be upon him, spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you and I read salat, we are speaking to Allah. It was on this night that our Messenger, peace be upon him, saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you perform salat, our Messenger said you should perform it as if you too are looking at Allah. If you cannot imagine that, then certainly Allah is looking at you. It was on this night that our Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam ascended until he went beyond Sidratul Muntaha. When you perform salah in a relaxed manner with full concentration and sincerity, believe me, it is your soul and it is your zameer which is ascending upwards and upwards and upwards. Try it. We see that the bird, generally the master body. But if we had the attitude that this is the most beloved thing of our Messenger, peace be upon him, we would enjoy our salah. Our salah wouldn't take 3 minutes, it would take much longer. It wouldn't be inna atayna and kulullah in every rakat, it would enjoy it much more. So this night really it is about reaching Allah through the means of salah. And as our Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam said, he explained that my Mi'raj was physical. I actually went to the heavens. I actually saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, as salatu mi'raj al mu'min, your Mi'raj is to perform salat each and every day. So first, very important amalan. You cannot understand, you cannot even talk about Mi'raj without talking about salat. It should be an inspiration. We are Barelvis, all Barelvis read Salah. We are Qadiris, every Qadiri believes in the importance of Salah. No one can claim to be any of those two without believing in the importance of Salah. The second thing, the Amal, is so much to actually share, one or two things I will share with you, is the Prophet Ali Salatu Wasalam, when he was going upwards, the Mi'raj part of it, he was seeing many different things. He saw things in Jannah, he saw parts of hell. He saw people being rewarded, he saw people being punished. He was shown so many strange things in each of them. There was a lesson and inspiration for you and I. Let me explain to you one thing that our Prophet ﷺ saw on this night. SubhanAllah, there was a wall when he was in the companionship of Sayyidina Jibreel. And this wall, it had a very, very small opening. A very small slot, you could say. To his astonishment, the Prophet ﷺ saw that a massive animal came out of that small hole. Sawrun Azim, a bull. A whole live bull came out of that really small hole. As soon as that bull came out, and it was alive, as soon as it came out of that small hole, immediately that bull tried to get back into that small hole. It was trying to push itself in that same hole that it came from. As you can imagine, it could not do that. It came out easily, but it could not return into it. Our Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam asked Sayyidina Jibreel, Ma haza? That, oh Jibreel, what's going on here? A wall, a small slug, a massive animal comes out of it, and immediately as it comes out, it's trying to get back in. Sayyidina Jibreel explained in a beautiful metaphor, in a beautiful symbolic way. He said, this is the example, this animal is the example of Muslims and non-Muslims. People who speak with their tongue say something which they never actually thought about. As soon as they say it, they show nidamat, regret, and remorse. Oh my God, I shouldn't have said that. As soon as they say that then, they are trying to take back the words. Unfortunately, they cannot take it back. Once you have said something, it never comes back. This is the example of that. Amalan, on this night of Isra wal Mi'raj, the Prophet ﷺ saw this episode so he could teach you something. He is teaching you and I, may Allah give us all the guidance, to be careful with the tongue. When you speak, think for a moment. Slow down. Pause for a moment and think before you are going to speak. Because once you have released it, you cannot bring it back. All MPs, politicians, celebrities, everybody you see time and time again, apologies, apologies, apologies. I said this on Twitter, I'll take it back. I said this on the dispatch box, I will take it back. I said this in this particular meeting, I'll take it back. The election is coming up, we will see loads of those now from our MPs. Our Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam was teaching you and I slow down when it comes to speaking. So this is another very important ta'aleem of this night, be careful with your tongue. Another last thing, and I have to share this, that our Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam saw on this night, he saw a woman, a very old woman. Unbelievably frail, unbelievably ugly. It was very apparent that this woman basically was on her last legs. She had one foot in the grave. The word of the hadith suggests that she couldn't even support herself. That's how old she was. And she was having to rest on her arms like this. Yet despite being so old, despite being so frail, and despite being so ugly, what did our messenger observe? From head till toe, she had herself adorned with all of the gold, silver, and jewelry of the world. Allah. Unbelievably old, yet she was trying to make herself look attractive, alluring. The word of the hadith, عَلَيْهَا كُلُّ زِينَةٍ خَلَقَهُ. Upon her was every single type of zinat and adornment that Allah had created. Beginning to make gold and silver. This woman, in her prayer voice, called out to our Prophet, Ya Muhammad, unzurni as'alka. Ya Muhammad, unzurni as'alka. She called out to our Prophet, alayhi salatu wa salam, Oh Muhammad, look to me. Look to me, I want to ask you something. Our messenger, alayhi salatu wa salam, did not turn to her. He did not answer. Falam al-taqit ilayha. I didn't even turn to her. And he walked out. Moments later, when that scene had disappeared, our Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam asked Jibreel alayhi salam, that, please Jibreel, tell me, who was that woman? She was calling out to me, unbelievably old, unbelievably frail, unbelievably ugly, yet she had all of the gold and silver on her body. Who was she? Sayyidina Jibreel, and listen carefully what he said. Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam said that this woman represents dunya. She represents this world. But what an important lesson. This dunya is like this old woman who is old, ugly, prayer, about to finish. That there is nothing left. This dunya, even if you live to 150, 200 years, what is that in comparison to the akhirat where you will live forever? What is the point of putting some mind together in this world when you are here for a second compared to the akhirat? It's like that woman who is basically got one foot in the grave. Yet at the same time, like this woman, the dunya tried to attract you. It tried to attract you with the gold, silver, and the mata of this world. What is the point of this when it is on an ugly and frail woman? The real mata and the real, you could say, spiritual bliss is in the akhirah. This is just mata, it is just saman, it doesn't mean anything. And certainly in this itself, it was a great lesson from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please remember, our Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam did not answer dunya. He did not even turn towards dunya. Rather, he said the faith to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, unfortunately, we are in a reverse situation where we do not pay any attention to what Allah says, but we say, labbaik to dunya. It itself is a very important lesson to conclude, and it's very, very important, and I will finish upon this, is the vision of Allah. This itself was the most important and beautiful and precious part of this night. The fact that our Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam saw Allah. You and I, inshallah ta'ala, we will have to wait until we enter into Jannah. But our Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam, he was given this great ni'mah in advance. And even this, in this there is an important lesson. Where will people see Allah? They will see him in Jannah. Not before. Allah will not manifest himself on the day of Qiyamah. On the day of Hisab. Why? Because on the day of Qiyamah and at the Mahshar, there will be Muslims and non-Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has only reserved his greatest ni'mah, his vision, for the Muslims and not the non-Muslims. So therefore, you and I will wait until Jannah to the dawn to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The greatest punishment of the kuffar, you could say, is not that they will burn and sizzle in the fire of hell for eternity. That is not the biggest punishment. The biggest punishment for the disbelievers is that they will never ever get to see Allah subhanahu. This is our ni'mah, and this is our subhanallah, greatest gift. Our messenger, alayhi salatu wa salam, he was given this gift on this night. We have to wait until Jannah. And itself, it will be worth it. Why? Because seeing Allah is greater than Jannah and all of its contents. There is no doubt about that whatsoever. Our Prophet, alayhi salatu wa salam, said a beautiful hadith recorded by Imam Muslim in his Sahih, that إِذَا دَخَلَ أَخْلُ الْجَنَّةَ الْجَنَّةَ, that when the people of Jannah enter into paradise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will address everyone. He will speak to the mu'mins, he will speak to the believers. And subhanallah, listen to the word that Allah will say to you and I, inshallah. He will say, تُرِيدُونَ شَيْئًا أَزِيدُكُمْ. This is Allah speaking. Do you want anything? I can give you more. Allah will be saying that. What will the reaction of you and I be? Allah Akbar, we will say, Ya Allah, Alam tubayyin wujuhana? Have you not whitened our faces? Alam tudkhilna jannah? Have you not entered us into jannah? Matunajjina minan nar? And you have saved us from the fire of hell? What else could we possibly want? We have salvation. We have jannah for eternity. How on earth could we want anything else from you, Ya Allah? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will want to. And the words of the hadith are فَيُكْشَفُ الْحِجَابَ. The hijab will be risen. And all of the Ahl al-Iman and all of the Ahl al-Islam, they will finally get to see their Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَمَا أُطْرُ شَيْئًا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِمْ مِنْ رَبِّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And nothing is greater than seeing their Lord, their Creator, for the first time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us his vision in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow the night of Isra wal Mi'raj to inspire us all to perform salah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all our sins. Ameen. Wa ma'alina illa al-talaq al-mubin.